Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, it's a beautiful, hot, steamy, sunny day. They say air quality unhealthy. Don't breathe if you go outside. We got lots to get to. We'll get to this goofy parade. We'll get to President Trump. We'll get to Netflix. We'll get to Biden and more. Is the parade over now?
Yeah, they're at City Hall.
And what do they do at City Hall?
They get the keys to the city. There's some speeches, and then everybody goes home.
This is a landmark day to have the mayor at City Hall before 1 p.m. He's there at 11. This is a big event. He gives him the key to the city. Knowing this guy, he'll change the locks. So he is really big on this women's soccer.
He is. Well, I mean, it's an opportunity to get in front of national cameras.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Oh, that's why he's doing it.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's what it is. Now, he's fighting for equal pay.
No, that's the governor. Well, I said both of them are.
But yeah. Now, what did the governor just announce? That he's going to pass a law?
He signed a law.
A law.
Or an executive order that men and women have to be paid the same if they play soccer in New York.
There you go. Law. Which means all female soccer will move to New Jersey now. They'll just play at a stadium out there.
Well, there is a New York soccer team that plays at Yankee Stadium. It's New York football.
Now you're going to see him at the Meadowlands. Avoid that law. You can't legislate.
Could you imagine that, though? So if there happens to be a women's team, they have to be paid the same as this men's team?
No, they're going to play in the Meadowlands. That's what the Giants do.
Wow.
Why do you think every New York football team is in New Jersey? Why do you think that is? Let's avoid this and that. And so women's soccer will move to the Meadowlands. Equal pay is great if you earn it. If you don't earn it,
none. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what if you passed a law like on television? Everybody must get equal pay.
That's essentially what they're saying, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't work that way. If this guy's got the number one show with a zillion viewers, he gets paid this much. If this guy's got a 12th place show, if you're Gail King in third place with low ratings, of course, look at her. But that's because she threatened to write a book. She got that. Equal pay is there if you earn it. I believe in equal pay. If you earn it, just go out and earn it. And the mayor is the mayor and the governor at City Hall.
I'm not quite sure if the governor went there or not because they were on separate floats.
Yeah, see, they hate each other because if they were both there, they'd be like shoving each other out of the way to stand next to her in the picture. And she's the biggest inequality person in the world. She hogs all the attention. I never hear her say, I'm not going to any show unless my team comes with me.
Right.
It's always her. She's looking for a book deal, a TV contract, lots of money. Now watch this. What's her name?
Megan Rapinoe.
Rapinoe. This Rapinoe is going to go make $20 million in the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
While everybody else in the team got $1.50. You think she's going to split that with them?
Yeah, I'm sure she will.
She's going to give you a lesson in income inequality over the next 2 years that you won't believe. You're going to see more inequality. She's going to get commercials, endorsements, everything on earth, and not share it with anybody. She's going to make 50 times more than anybody else on the team, and she'll be just fine with it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's okay.
Guaranteed. So, hey, you remember this ambassador from Great Britain, the British ambassador to the U.S., some emails came out. And by the way, he never said Donald Trump is inept or incompetent. He said the Trump administration. There's nothing in there where he talks about Trump himself. But it's attack, Trump administration. Everybody's inept, bumbling, this and that. So the president cut him off just yesterday or the day before, said, that's why we're not going to deal with the guy anymore. So he was let go. He was allowed to quit. And he's no longer the ambassador, which is right. It makes sense. If you can't, nobody will talk to you. How can you be the ambassador?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Useless guy. And who is he to say that this government isn't? How could you say the government's inept? We've got the highest stock market, lowest unemployment, best economy in a million years. What's incompetent?
I got to think it's not the easiest administration to work with.
I don't know. They're pretty easy to work with. They don't stand on formality. They're pretty easy to work. Nobody else. Tim Cook has no problem working with them. The president, the CEO of Apple, he's in the White House all the time. He seems to love Donald Trump.
I don't know. I mean, if you're dealing from the outside, it kind of changes from day to day. You know, they'll say one thing today, another thing the next day.
Gee, I can't imagine politicians behaving like that. That's unusual. Yeah, I think if you're in politics, that must be a shock to see somebody act like that. So he's gone. That's it for him. I'm watching this Lester Holt. is the fakest fake news guy. That NBC News, there's no more fake news than that NBC. Although people keep telling me this Lester Holt's a good guy, that he's, they said, don't blame him. He's in a hostage situation. They tell him he's got to do this, got to say this, that he's actually a nice guy. He wants the job. He doesn't want to quit as the NBC anchor.
So you got to take these little jabs at Trump?
Not little, they're huge jabs. He opens up last night with Jeffrey Epstein, and then he actually says, President Trump tried to distance himself from Jeffrey Epstein. President Trump has not seen Jeffrey Epstein in 15 years. 15 years ago, he banned the guy from Mar-a-Lago. How, you couldn't get any more distant from him than that. How could he be distancing himself?
Well, that's pretty close, if you ask me. 15 years?
15 years ago, I had a fight with, I had such a big fight with the guy, I banned him from Mar-a-Lago, and I haven't talked to him since. I think that's about as distant as you can get. You can't distance yourself after that. Hey, I don't know if you've been following this Home Depot crisis. One of the great guys, Bernie Marcus, one of the founders of Home Depot, is a Trump supporter, as are most CEOs and big business guys. And he said he's a Trump supporter on some interview or something. So these crazy, hate-filled, angry mob Democrats have announced a boycott against Home Depot. They're trying to boycott Home Depot. So President Trump now calling for people to support Home Depot, go shop there. But if you live in most places and you need some hardware or some tools or whatever, that's basically where you're going to go. Where else? Why would you go anywhere else?
Well, there's Lowe's, I suppose you could go to that.
Yeah, not always. If you're in certain places, there's only a Home Depot and there's no Lowe's.
But it's crazy. You say you support Trump and you end up, people hate you.
Yeah, this angry mob nonsense has got to stop.
It happened to Jim Cook, the guy from Sam Adams Beer.
Yeah.
He supported the president's tax. They were going to boycott his beer.
Notice this is the one that concerns you. I'm worried about Home Depot.
Sam Adams. Yeah. Well, that says more for me if they want to boycott him. Okay.
Yeah. That's true. This has got to stop, this angry, ridiculous, crazed pitchforks and torches mob. You got to stop that. It's ridiculous. Hey, I'll say one thing about Home Depot. I hadn't been in a Home Depot in a long time. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when you went to Home Depot, it's the biggest store ever. It's like 50 million miles long. You could say to a guy, where do you have this screw? And he'd say, aisle 26. Like, we just know that.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Now, if you go into a Home Depot, it's just the opposite. It's like some, they don't speak English, and you say, do you have a, sell hammers? Huh?
No, I've been there. They're pretty good.
Well, maybe where you are, but I've had that happen in two or three Home Depots where you ask them for something simple. They don't even know. Then not only don't they know where it is, they don't know what it is. It's changed a little, but it's still the greatest place to shop if you need anything.
Oh yeah, it's all there. Just try and find it.
You know, they always say, "Oh, but they put the mom and pop hardware store out of business." Good. Nothing worse than those mom and pop hardware stores. Nah, you go in there and you want a this kind of screw, or let's say you want a screwdriver. I want a Phillips screwdriver. The mom and pop store has three of them to choose from. You go into Home Depot. Here's 467 different Phillips screwdrivers in every size, every color, and it's one-tenth the price.
I like my local hardware store.
I don't.
They know everything. Then there's a guy that you go there, he knows where everything is in the store.
Because he only has 20 things in the store. He's got like four aisles. That's it. Home Depot is 4 million aisles.
Why do you need 15 selections of a Phillips screwdriver?
Because I want it. And then sometimes you go to the mom and pop. How about this? Oh, we don't have it. Well, can order it for you. It'll take 2 weeks. Right. Home Depot, they got 500 of them there. And this mom and pop store, they always got three parking spaces, that's it, with a big sign, parking for mom and pop store only, as if anybody else wants to park there. Home Depot, here's 5,000 spaces, park wherever you want.
Yeah, but it's easier to go to the local hardware store.
No, it's not. It's much easier to go to Home Depot until you want to pay. Then you look at these lines, and they got this... ring yourself up.
Oh, you check yourself out, yeah.
Still can't figure that out. I could run a whole radio station, but I can't figure out how to check myself out.
It's not hard.
It's very hard.
You find a little label, drink.
Yeah, it's not that easy. Now, Joe Biden, look at this. Here's this Joe Biden who claims he's Mr. Home Depot. Remember he got caught lying about Home Depot in the Sarah Palin debate? He says, you know, when I go to my Home Depot, right near my house, and he told this whole story, they found out there's no Home Depot within 100 miles of his house. He's never been to one. He does this fake everyman, working class Joe act. He lives in this enormous mansion. In fact, you go on the webpage. I think we had it up yesterday. Take a tour of this mansion he lives in, Mr. Working Class Joe. Now he had to release some financial information. He's been making $15 million for the last 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Mr. Working Class Joe with $15 million the last couple of years. The big mansion.
How do you make $15 million as vice president?
No, since he got out.
Oh.
He's been out for 2 years.
Okay.
But it's $15 million for speeches or whatever he does.
Okay.
Consulting, picking up the phone for people, whatever he does. He's reported $15 million in income. Now, the other guy's getting in the race is this Tom Steyer. He's a billionaire. And if you don't think there's equality, that anybody can go make $1 billion, look at this guy. If this guy can make $1 billion, anybody can. This guy is the most unmemorable guy I've ever seen in life. You know, he's been running TV commercials for 2 years. All over the place, in the Super Bowl, primetime. Nobody's had more TV commercials. It's just him looking in the camera. Can you picture him?
I don't know who he is, no.
You still can't picture the guy. He's so unmemorable. I've seen 500 commercials. Still don't know what he looks like.
You know, there's a lot of billionaires in the news lately?
Yeah.
Between Epstein, this guy, Ross Perot.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Ross Perot was a huge Trump supporter. You know, just before he died, he made two massive contributions to Trump's reelection.
Mm-hmm.
The absolute maximum that you could donate. Big Trump supporter.
That's good.
So Tom Steyer's pledges he will spend $100 million if he has to. He could spend $100 billion. It won't help. He's already spent millions on these TV commercials. Still nobody knows who the hell he is or what he... if he walked down the street, nobody would recognize him. This is after millions in TV commercials. Nobody knows who he is. So he could be in the debate, talk the whole debate. Nobody will remember him the next day.
Wow.
So look at this Elizabeth Warren. She's bragging that since the debate, she's raised $19 million. Sounds good, except Pete Buttigieg, this little mayor, raised $25 million. So what does that tell you? That's a lot more than her.
They like him more than her.
Yeah, definitely. So now they're going after this. Here's another thing, this fake NBC News. They've done a massive investigation into Mitch McConnell, and they go back a million generations and find out his family owned slaves.
How about that?
But they only did him. They didn't do anybody else. Now, if you just do a quick Google search, you'll find out Kamala Harris's family owned slaves, and you'll find out that Barack Obama's family owned slaves. His mother was a descendant of Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy.
But McConnell's slave owning was worse.
I would say Jefferson Davis, president of the
Confederacy,
and there was a New York Times thing about it way back when. And at that time, Obama confirmed it. He said, "Yes, we always knew my mother was a descendant of Jefferson Davis." So, not only a slave owner, but the guy who waged the war to keep the slaves. So, I guess NBC News ran out of time. They didn't have time to mention it. They got cut short. They were going to mention it, but they didn't. So the parade is definitely over, right?
Yes.
I'm looking
at the parade part is over.
So
yes.
They closed subway stations. They closed, you know, the 4th of July parade. All you heard, every news organization, suddenly an accounting firm, has it cost this for the tanks? It cost this much. It cost this much. How much do you think it cost to close Lower Manhattan for half a day? How much do you think it cost to clean that up?
I think the last parade cost over $1 million or like $1.2 million, something like that.
Yeah, for a little local parade. You hear anybody talking, worried about the cost? Nobody's concerned about it. Suddenly they don't care what a parade costs. So, hey, speaking of the police and all that stuff, I mentioned yesterday that under Mayor de Blasio, crime is down 5%, the new crime statistics. Did you hear all this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've been hearing from every which way from police sources that these are not the same statistics you've been getting every year.
Why is that?
Well, let's just say they've changed the methodology a little, or how they count it, or how they measure it. So it's down 5% under the new way of counting it. So it may not really be down that much. So if you got to juggle the way you keep track of it and adjust everything, and you're still only down 5%, that's not good.
There's only one way to count crime, right?
Oh,
I mean,
no,
there's murders, there's robberies, there's assault.
Move things into different categories. You change the dates. I'm just hearing from all over the place. These are not the very reliable statistics, and that's how it's down 5%. Now, you're saying, well, this police commissioner's a good guy. Why would he go along with that? Well, what are you going to do? If the mayor decides this is how you'll count it now, then that's how you count it now.
Well, it sounds good.
It sounds good. It sounds good. Meantime, you walk around, and it looks a lot worse than it looked a couple of years ago. Every place is a homeless camp. There's this guy's putting homeless camps. He's putting one next to Carnegie Hall. The neighborhood has been fighting it in court. Looks like they're losing that battle. You got the wrong judge on this one, who's not ruling in their favor. And that homeless shelter next to Carnegie Hall is for felons.
That's convenient.
Yeah, this is a brilliant mayor. Let's put this next to Carnegie Hall. This is the same guy that on Park Avenue in 67th, that's like the heart of Park Avenue, put a homeless shelter. So at night, these homeless guys are terrorizing everybody walking down the street. This is this mayor in action. And he wants you to believe crime is down under his watch, which nobody is buying. Hey, check out the webpage. There's some good stuff up there. Hey, speaking of Ross Perot, watch Dana Carvey was brilliant as Ross from Saturday Night Live. He also watched with an eye for how much different Saturday Night Live was 20 years ago. Look at the quality, how much better it was, how much funnier it was. And take a look at this. This is an important little speech here. Steve Wozniak, one of the Apple founders, on why you've got to get off Facebook. And how do you pick a lock? Watch this guy. He'll teach you how to do it with a paperclip. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
OR. Live from the iHeart Tower in Tribeca, Mark Simone on the Voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Well, let's take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Let's go to Michael in New Jersey. How you doing, Michael?
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good.
Good. You were talking about the local hardware stores, and I just wanted to tell you a story about this woman that I knew that went into the hardware store with her vibrator.
Uh-oh, here comes a bad joke. Okay, go ahead.
Dropped it onto the counter and said, I need some batteries for this. So the hardware guy takes a look at it, wags his finger at her, and says, come this way. And the woman says...
Not only a bad joke, it's going to take him 40 minutes to tell this. Hey.
Oh, come on, that's funny.
It's not funny. It might have been funny if you sped it up a little, put a little delivery into it, but this is a family show. You can't tell jokes like that.
All right, well, wagging the finger.
Hey. Listen. Listen.
All right, I tried, Mark.
All right, listen, Anthony Weiner. wasn't bad. All right, thanks for slowing us down here. Anyway, hey, Netflix is having problems, got a couple of problems. Just bear this in mind if you're hanging on to that Netflix stock. They may have a tough time ahead. First of all, everybody else is getting in the streaming business. You know, Time Warner, AT&T bought Time Warner, Warner Brothers, HBO. All this stuff is merging now. So they want to do their own streaming, so they're pulling their big shows away from Netflix. Two of the big things on Netflix, Friends and The Office, just got yanked off Netflix because the companies that own them want to use them themselves. And here's the latest development. AT&T bought Time Warner, which has HBO and all this. So they want to create something called HBO Max. And Apple, you know, obviously wants to get in the TV streaming business. But what they're going to do, they're going to start spending so much money that they're going to have shows that are so expensive they'll be beyond movie quality. You know, The Sopranos was really the first TV show to go movie quality. And what that means is it's not like an hour primetime drama where you got to knock one out every week and you got 3 days to shoot it and 2 days to write it and that kind of deal. And it's a million an episode. You know, when The Sopranos came along, it was like movie quality. You could hire really serious writers and give them a month to write each episode. So you'd have only 8 or 9 shows in a season, and it might be 2 years between the season, but the writing was incredible, movie quality. And you could take 3 weeks to film an episode if you wanted. So movie quality filming. So that became what you see on streaming. But now they want to go super high budget. No more $1 million an episode. This new HBO Max, AT&T is saying they'll spend $15 million an episode. They'll go all over the world to any location. They'll take 3 months on each episode if they want. So I don't know. Netflix will have to start spending a fortune to compete. That changes the whole business model. Also, this is bad for the movie business. That's one reason the movie business died off. You know, years ago, you could watch some television junk or you could go see a really top movie. You know, if this were years ago, you could watch Who's the Boss and it's movie, you know, it's TV quality. And you can go to the movies and, you know, watch Goodfellas. That's like movie quality. But now, the quality of the streaming television show, you know, like Billions or anything like that. It's as good, if not better, than any movie. Anyway, let's go to Richie in the Bronx. Hey, Richie.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good.
Quickly, years ago, I used to go to Martha's Vineyard all the time, and I was dating my wife at that time.
Yes.
I rode my 10-speed bike right off the Chappaquaic Bridge. She took pictures of it. The bridge is tiny. For that man to have abandoned that girl, he's burning in hell right now. And I'll tell you, if that was my daughter, I would have hunted him down, and I would have got him. I would have got him sometime or somewhere, but I feel very bad for the Kopechne family.
Yeah, 50th anniversary of Chappaquiddick. But you remember the Kopechne family was kind of sort of terrorized by the local authorities. The Kennedys had a lot of clout in Massachusetts, and the Massachusetts police and attorney generals and district attorneys. So the Kopechnes felt a little threatened in that environment. You remember they moved out of the state, moved far away from Ted Kennedy. But you look back on that, it's amazing. You look at today's world, it's amazing that he survived that. He drives off a bridge, drowns somebody, leaves her in the car, waits a day to report it.
Well, it was fortunate it happened when they landed on the moon, so he wasn't the top story.
Yeah, but once the moon landing got... Yeah, can you imagine that? Neil Armstrong goes, one small... They're going, we break into this now for yeah. Ted Kennedy. I mean, it's the most disgusting scandal ever in politics, and he survived it.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Survived it, because he was a Democrat. Now, let's say that was Richard Nixon. He would have been arrested and hung the next day. So here's some more tech news. Apple has announced, you know, the stupid white things, the little white sticks, you see them coming out of everybody's ear now, those AirPods. Apple has announced, finally, the next generation of AirPods will be water-resistant. They'll be waterproof, the next generation
of AirPods. You can take a shower with them.
Yeah, well, you're laughing. The problem is people are so addicted to the phone that if they go swimming, you know, a lot of people like to go swimming. Let me do laps for 10 minutes. They can't go 10 minutes without the phone, and you can get the waterproof case for the phone, so you can take the phone in the water with you. The problem was the AirPods. So they're now water.
We have a problem, man.
People do this. They call you now. You know, some people call you while they're driving. Now they call you while they're kayaking, while they're swimming. What is that splashing? Oh, I'm in the shower right now. So the only thing I can't figure out, those AirPods can fall out of your ear.
Yeah.
What happens if you put your head under the water? They must just float away. How do you get them back? But, hey, I've experienced, too. I like to swim laps. I've experienced this where, like, lap number 7, you go, geez, I want to check my messages.
You can't wait until lap 10?
It's tough. It's really tough. I actually bought one of those waterproof cases. It looks like a little pouch.
And you take your phone with you.
I haven't used it yet, but you put it in and you seal it, and then you can push through the plastic. Supposedly, it works.
Nothing is that important that you would have to get it while you're swimming.
It's sick. It's just sick. But why do you think they're suddenly making waterproof AirPods? It's sick. I know. Soon, people will not go to a pool unless they have the Wi-Fi code for the pool, the underwater Wi-Fi, all that stuff. When we come back, Ann Coulter will be with us. Let's see what she thinks about all of this. We'll get to the census. We'll get to all of this next on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bart.
Put a little more Mark Simone your day. Get his podcast on demand at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mark Simone.
On the voice of New York.
710 WOR.
Well, Ann Coulter, of course, the best-selling author. Her latest book, Resistance is Futile. You should read this. It's her best book yet, Resistance is Futile. And get her new column and follow her on Twitter and Instagram and all that. And you just go to anncoulter.com. Ann Coulter, how you doing?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Mark Simone?
Very good. Hey, you know, this mob mentality, the Democrats with the pitchforks and the torches and, the founder of Home Depot donated to Trump. Now they want to ban Home Depot. This has got to stop, this mob mentality, doesn't it?
It's pretty bad, and it's getting worse. The strange thing is, I mean, they could, I don't know if they could beat him, but they could run a creditable campaign if they would just not be insane against Trump. But they're doing everything in the wrong way. I mean, it may bode well for the future, the Democrats decide they want to re-engineer America so for a Democratic hegemony for the rest of time. They bring in all these immigrants, legal, illegal, the illegals become legal, and it's just a fact that immigrants, I mean, they always have it, vote overwhelmingly for the Democrats. About 100 years later, they start splitting their votes. So immigration, legal or illegal, by and large, not good for the Republican Party. They've been openly gloating about this for decades now. As I describe in Adios America, Roy Teixeira, big Democratic consultant in Texas, he called Obama's victory George McGovern's revenge, something he'd been predicting forever as the states turned, saying that it was immigrants. And, of course, you know, feminist divorcees, you know, young people that carried Obama to victory. But the downside of them creating this weird coalition is that the various aspects of the coalition hate one another. And at least at this stage, the Democratic Party still does need a few white votes, which they're basically incapable of getting. I don't know if you've seen these videos. I think you may have tweeted some of them, of Beto O'Rourke.
No.
Multi-millionaire, because of whom he married, another John Kerry figure. You know, all if there is such a thing as white privilege, whoa, does Beto have it? And all he does is sit around talking about this systemic racism that runs through every American institution, and we're a country founded on white racism. I mean, who wants to hear that about their country? Not even the immigrants want to hear that about the country they went to all this trouble to move to.
Yeah. Hey, this idea that the court rules you can't ask about citizenship on the census, where does this court think they have the right to interfere? They can tell the Commerce Department what questions they can put on a survey?
Well, apparently, and thank you, Bill Barr, if only Trump had other smart people working for him besides Bill Barr. Barr has pointed out exactly what you say. We can ask whatever we want on the census. I think it's also worth mentioning, I haven't followed a lot of the coverage of this, but as someone who cares about history, the census always asks about citizenship. If you do ancestry work, going back to when the first census was taken, they asked about citizenship. And it wasn't for, you know, federal benefits, because they didn't have federal benefits. They wanted to know. It was ended only in 1950. I mean, to act like this is some, whoa, out of the blue, where did that question come from? It's always been asked. It's one of the basic questions you would want to know about the population for all sorts of reasons.
Also, everywhere you go, you can be asked your legal status. A cop can ask to see your driver's license. The train conductor can say, let me see your ticket. The usher at the movie theater can say, let me see your ticket. You can always be asked your status in anything.
Yes, I mean it's obviously an important question, even if we weren't living in a massive welfare state where congressional districts are determined by how many people are living in your district. But those are the two immediate impacts that are in fact important. I mean, one question I would like the Democrats at, well, let me finish that thought and then go to the next one. I'm leaping ahead. In Maxine Waters' district, for example, it's like half illegal aliens. So she doesn't have to win as many votes to beat her opponent as in a standard congressional district. I think the standard congressional district is, I don't know, about 300,000, 400,000 people. Well, if half the people in your district are illegal aliens, the remaining citizens who are allowed to vote and end up having much more power in the House, which they're not supposed to. In the Senate, they are, not in the House. So, yeah, it's important to make sure every vote counts in the way our constitutional system has designed it. But what was the point I was leaping ahead to? It was very important. Why would you ask the citizenship question?
Well, about Democrats and votes and all the. And if you don't have that citizenship question, you could get all kinds of illegals on there getting themselves a new congressman.
Not only that, there's all kinds of federal money that's distributed on the basis of how many people are living in your district. The Census Act asks all kinds of questions that are used for researchers. Who knows why we may need to know this? But look, it sounds like, from what I can tell, Barr is just saying, well, thanks for your opinion, but we're going to go ahead and put it on the census.
Hey, Ann Coulter, this soccer idiot. What's her name? Rapinoe? Who's her name?
The one who was beaten by the 14-year-old boys.
So she's talking about equal pay, inequality. Now, you know she's going to get a book deal, a TV deal. She'll make $20 million in the next year and not split it with the rest of the team. They'll all make $1.50.
That's a great point, but I want to get T-shirts for the under-15 league in Texas that beat the women's soccer team. Although I kind of don't want to do that because I don't want to encourage this heinous sport of soccer. You know, I've started an organization, the War on Soccer.
Why?
Because it's an awful sport. It's not an American sport. I mean, it's great for little kids. Don't get me wrong. They run around. They burn off a lot of energy. I'm sure it is fantastic for parents with little kids. But no adult should be playing soccer. It's so boring. It's so European. And that's precisely the only reason the New York Times keeps trying to push it on us.
You know, the other thing is it has no breaks. Football, you stop every 10 seconds for a commercial. Americans
so you can chit-chat. Have a beer.
Yeah, Americans have no attention span. This soccer goes like 15 minutes before they take a break.
And every minute is boring.
Yeah, and at the end of the game, oh, what a score, 2-1. But that's it.
Oh, no, that would be an exciting soccer game. No, usually it's 0-0. 1-1.
Yeah. So what do you think about this Joe Biden with his I mean, how many gaffes can a guy make in 2 weeks? And why didn't the party elders just step in and tell him, Joe, you got to sit this one out now?
Well, Joe is my candidate. I mean, among the Democrats, I do prefer when neither of the two major political parties are running someone who could destroy my life and wreck our country, at least immediately. So, I think Biden is the most attractive. He is famous for making gaffes. It's part of his charm. But, man, Mark, look at the rest of them.
Yeah. And one thing I love is watching the Obamas for the last 2 months pretending they don't know the guy, they didn't really work with him, we've only met him a couple times. We don't know.
Yeah, I think you tweeted out that quote. Did you say it was from Game Change of Obama saying about Biden? When is this guy going to stop saying stupid stuff?
That's an actual Obama quote from 2008.
I do think it's part of his charm, and if he doesn't go to woke social justice warrior, he would be the Democrats' best candidate, which is good because the question I believe we left hanging from a week or two ago was, is Trump more or less likely to fulfill his campaign promises in a second term? We still have a little more than a year left for Trump to keep his promises. And the stronger the Democratic opposition is, the more likely I think we are to have him fulfill his promises.
All right. Well, everybody follow Ann Coulter on Twitter and go to AnnCoulter.com. The new column comes out tonight. And if you don't have it, get the book, Resistance is Futile. And, you mentioned Adios America, best book on the border and the crisis. Get that, too. Go to AnnCoulter.com. And Ann Coulter, thanks for being with us.
Good to talk to you, Mark Simone. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. And everybody check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. Hey, Dana Carvey, he was brilliant with this Ross Perot imitation. Watch this. This is Saturday Night Live. This is like 20 years ago. And look at the difference. Look how good Saturday Night Live was. Look at the quality of everything on it back then. Watch Phil Hartman do his Larry King. It's amazing. And also take a look at this other video, Steve Wozniak. It's just quick. It's like a one-minute speech, but he explains to you why you've got to get off Facebook. And how do you pick a lock? Watch this guy. He'll show you how to pick a padlock with a paperclip. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.